Oh, I get emotional because I've been in church since I was 16 years old. And, Lord help me. Speak, Lord. I've been in the church since I was 16 years old. And nothing in my life has been more real than the church. Nothing in my life has made more of an impact than being in gatherings like this. Nothing in my life has changed me and transformed me more than the Word of God. Yeah. And my concern for the church, and it's nobody's fault but the church, is that we've forgotten. We've lost our first love. We've stepped away from the Word of God, and I believe that what God is doing is He's causing a shift. I believe that we are part of that shift. Take a look around. We're a church that's only existed for just over a year. And I don't believe any of you are here for as an accident. I believe you're all here for a reason. I believe you're all a part of the shift that God is doing. He's shifting us from being a nominal Christian church to a church that is built on the foundations of the Word of God. That's built on His name and on His power. That's not built by our own strategies, our own agenda, our own programs, our own preferences, but it's built on the power, the presence, the purpose, the mission, the Word of God. And we all get to be a part of that. And so today, I'm going to start this brand new series, and I believe that this series is a part of it. And the series is called The Bible Doesn't Say That. The Bible doesn't say that. And here's what this series is going to be about. The series is a way of us dealing with some cliche statements. We want to challenge some cliche statements that we often hear, things that people often say, whether they have good intentions or not. That sound biblical, they sound very good, but really aren't. Because here's the thing, if we don't know the truth, we will never be able to live by it. If we don't know the truth as a people, if we don't know the truth as a church, the church will never be able to fully become all that it's intended to be. And so I want to work on this series. I want us to start this series, and we're calling it The Bible Doesn't Say That, because there's often statements that are spoken by well-meaning people, maybe even people who love the Lord, who have good intentions, and they'll often say things or create these little phrases that lead us to have these false expectations on not just God, but the church. And it leads us to having a shaky faith or and even a ground, a foundation that can easily be shaken, which causes us to have this frustration, these doubts, these fears, these concerns, because the phrases don't line up with the Word of God. And when the phrases don't line up with the Word of God, what we have is a misrepresentation of God. And they're often phrases that sound very good. They sound great. They sound incredible. Really, if it's not rooted in the Word of God, have no significance, have no power, have no authority, make no difference in our lives. Things like, God gives the hardest battles to His strongest warriors. Anybody ever heard that one? I actually never heard that one before. That was the first time I ever heard that one. I posted on social media. I said, hey, I'm working on this new series. Give me some cliche statements that you often hear people say that you're not sure are actually rooted in the Bible. That one came up. Another one is, everything happens for a reason. Ever heard that one? Ever want to punch somebody in the throat for that one? You just want to look at them and go, well, can you tell me what that reason is so we can move it along, please? Things like, the Bible says we shouldn't judge one another. I'm gonna leave that one for next week. How about that? Or how about this one? God never gives you more than you can handle. If I had a buzzer, I'd just... Does the Bible really teach these things? Does the Bible really say that? Now, here's the thing. Most of the time, these things are said by well-meaning people. They're offered for comfort, for wisdom, or even motivation. But here's the problem. Just because it sounds good doesn't mean it is good. You can have good intentions and have bad theology. Because good intentions does not make for good theology. And theology is everything. Theology is just a fancy way of saying the study of God. Theology is what you believe about God. And what you believe about God shapes the way that you live your life. So if you have bad theology, you will live incorrectly. Because your beliefs shape your life. And here's the problem. When we speak for God without knowing what God has really said, we risk misrepresenting Him. And that's why I believe series like this matters. That's why I believe that us being a church that is faithful to the foundations of Scripture matters. I'm not up here to make you feel good. I'm not up here to put a smile on your face. Yes, I want you to leave inspired. Yes, I want you to laugh and be engaged with what I'm saying. Yes, I will throw in a little humor in there to make sure that you're like engaged and you're not distracted and you're not looking at the back of the person's head going, "What is that?" You know what I mean? Like, I want to make sure that you're captivated. I want to make sure you're motivated. But more than anything, I want to make sure that through the Word of God, you encounter God in such a radical, dramatic way that your life never looks the same from this moment forward. And so sometimes that means I'm going to have to correct some things. Sometimes that means I'm going to have to challenge some things. Sometimes that means you're going to feel a little bit uncomfortable and you're going to get mad at me and you're going to want to cuss at me and you want to tell me off. But the reality is that in order to live by the truth, we first have to know the truth.
Yeah, that's good.
And today I want to focus on that. I want to focus on this lie, this deception that has crept into the church and crept into our lives that says God will never give you more than you can handle. I remember the first time I heard this. I was a teenager and I was going through a really difficult season of my life. And at the time, it sounded really helpful. It sounded very comforting, but it didn't match what I was living. I was overwhelmed, I was exhausted, I felt like I was at my wit's end, I felt like I was past my limit, way past my limit. And I remember thinking to myself, if this is something that I'm supposed to handle, then why does it feel like I'm drowning? Why does it feel like it's too much for me to handle? Why does it feel overwhelming? Why does it feel like if I don't move past this, my life will end? Why does it feel like it would be better to be dead than it would be to alive? Why does it feel so anxious? Why do I feel so worried? Why do I feel so heavy? Why do I feel like I can't keep going forward? And let's be honest, most of us have heard or said this phrase ourselves. Yeah. Don't worry, because God will never give you more than you can handle. We've heard it at funerals, we've heard it in hospital rooms, we've heard it when somebody's lost their job and they're like, "Oh, you're going to be okay, God will never give you more than handle." Yes, but that statement is not going to pay my bills. Okay, but that's not going to help my struggling marriage right now. It's not going to change the fact that I just got diagnosed with cancer. Explain that to the person who just lost his mother unexpectedly. Or my contractor who just lost his father-in-law, 80-something years old, healthy as could be, has a bad fall, and ends up passing away. But hey, God will never give you more than you can handle. That's not true. And quite frankly, it's not helpful. You say we say it with good intentions to encourage someone to stay strong. But let's be clear, the Bible does not say that. In fact, when we look at Scripture, what we see over and over and over and over again is people who are found in places where they are in over their head cannot help themselves, and God has to step in. Now, before we go any further, I want to talk about where this statement comes from. And where this phrase came from most is like most other bad theology. It's Scripture that is taken outside of its context and used to where we want to imply into it or apply to it what it says rather than extracting out of it. It's the difference between, I'm going to teach you something real quick, okay? It's the difference between what's called eisegesis and exegesis. Let me explain. Eisegesis is where I insert my beliefs, my understanding, my desires, my preferences into what the Word is saying. Exegesis is where I'm extracting out of it what God actually intended for it to say. And most of us live an eisegetical life where we want to apply everything about me, what feels good, how I look, how I think, what I prefer, what I desire into what God has said. But that's never the way we are supposed to read the Bible. So most bad theology comes from this concept where you are inserting yourself as the hero and the dictator, the narrator of the passage. But we have to understand the author's real intent. And so in 1 Corinthians, this is where it comes from. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. For God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability." Now, most of you would say, well, it says it right there. He'll never give us more than we can handle. That's not what it says. It actually says he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Let's pause for a second, because let's be very clear that what this verse is talking about is temptation and not suffering. It's talking about the desire that comes upon you to choose sin over Jesus. It's not talking about your experience. It's not talking about your circumstance. It's not talking about your health issues. It's not talking about your marital problems. It's not talking about your inability to do well in school. It's not talking about the difficulty in whatever friendship or relationship you face. What it's talking about is the temptation that Satan puts before you to choose sin over Jesus. God will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. And even if he does allow you to be tempted, he says he is the one that will provide for you a way to escape. You don't provide an escape for yourself. He does it. Which means that what he's trying to establish with allowing you to experience the temptation is that your dependence on him is what will get you out of it. Not on your own ability, not on your own strength, not on your own wisdom, not on your own power, but trusting him. Right? That's what he desires. And so it's saying God will always provide a way out when we're tempted to sin. But that's very different from saying we'll never face circumstances that are too much for us to handle. This is why Jesus, when he's about to leave his disciples, as he's leaving his disciples, he's having this dinner with them like we just talked about, this Last Supper where he's giving them a reason to remember them and a way how to remember him. And he's teaching them about the sacrifice that he's about to commit. And in this Last Supper, he's having a conversation with them and he tells them, listen, in this world, you will go through tribulations. You're going to suffer. It's not going to be easy. So let me help you. If you're going through a difficult situation in your life, God is not surprised by it, so why are you? It's promised. This life will not be easy because this life is not what is intended for us eternally. You're going to go through some difficult things. And that's another thing we'll talk about in a couple of weeks. Not everything does happen for a reason. Some things happen because we live in a fallen and broken world. Some things happen because we are suffering the consequences of what's called sin in the world. People make bad decisions. Bad decisions equal bad outcomes. And Jesus says, don't be surprised when you go through difficult things. Why? He says, "For take heart, for I have overcome the world." Not you. You can never overcome the world. He overcame it. And that's where we find our source of strength and hope and joy, is in the work of Jesus. In fact, the Apostle Paul, who wrote that verse, also wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 9. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers." Unaware means I want you to understand. We don't want you to have a lack of understanding. We want you to see what's happening. We want you to understand what I'm talking about. We don't want you to be unaware of what we're talking about. He says, "Brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia." I want you to know what we experienced. I want you to know that what we went through was difficult. I want you to know that it was so bad. Look what he says. "For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of our life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death." Did you catch that? He says, utterly burdened beyond our strength. We felt despaired of life itself. In other words, they felt as if they were going to die. Anybody ever been there? That doesn't sound like God will never give you more than you can handle. To feel so burdened beyond relief. To feel so weak, so anxious, so worried, so frustrated, so angry, so desperate, so hopeless. That we felt like there was no hope for us. That things were beyond repair. That things were beyond the capacity of us being able to handle it. So much so that we despaired of life itself. Look at the language. It's meaning we were so anxious about whether or not we were going to live. And it's important that we talk about this. Because some of you find yourself feeling that way right now. And you're discouraged. And you're frustrated, and you're disillusioned, and you're scared, and you feel like God has let you down, or worse, he's flat out rejected you because you find yourself going through things that feel like you would never make it another day. You're struggling with a severe illness, and you feel burdened beyond your strength when even getting out of bed feels impossible. You're despaired of life itself when the idea of continuing suffering feels worse than death. When you struggle through severe depression or anxiety and you feel as if there's no way out, it's so hopeless, you're dealing with panic attacks or suicidal thoughts and it feels like it's unlivable and you're burdened beyond your strength when your own thoughts feel like a prison. No matter how hard you try, you can't get out of it. I've been there, man. I've been there. I've been in such a low place, the lowest of lows. If I could share my story with you, I felt the despair where no matter how hard you try, you can't find the joy. And listen, it's not because you're not praying. It's not because you're not reading your Bible. It's not because you don't have an intimate relationship with God. What do you do then? What do you do? Can I just help those people right now in the room who are like me, who struggled with emotional and mental health? It's got nothing to do with your relationship with God. Now, I know that might bother the religious people who are so full of faith that can't understand that sometimes it's just you can't help but feel that way. And no matter, listen, I have found myself in places. I have a blessed, I consider myself a blessed man. I have an incredible wife. And I don't say that because she's sitting in the front row. I love my wife. I tell her all the time, and we've even talked about this in therapy. When she's like, I just wish people would see you the way that I see you. Well, people will never be able to see me the way that you see me because they are not my dream come true. They are not my safe place. No, listen, if she was here or not, I would be saying this. I need you to understand something. I've been in a place where I'm doing everything right. My marriage is blessed. My children are blessed. My home is blessed. Financially, everything's going well. I'm reading the Bible. I'm praying. I'm doing everything I possibly can, but I'm stuck in the prison of my thoughts. Where do you go to when you're facing that and you don't know what else to do? In fact, when you can no longer handle it, where do you go? Where you're so despaired of life itself that you just want to give up and you think that giving up is the only escape. You're suffering an unexpected death of a loved one, a child or a spouse or a parent, and it crushes someone's spirit. You're burdened beyond your strength when you can't even breathe without them. Ever lost somebody so close to you? And God won't let you handle, won't give you more than you can handle? You got to finish reading the passage. See, here's the problem is we stop reading and we never really fully read the full thing. What if we actually read our Bibles the way it was intended to be read? What if we actually opened it up, read it, deciphered it, understood it, studied it, broke it down the way it was intended to be broken down? Because if you read the passage, Paul doesn't stop there. He tells you that the reason for this happening, the reason for him experiencing this burden, the reason for him experiencing this despair, he says, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on the God who raises the dead. In other words, what Paul is saying is, it was more than I could take, but it was so we could learn to rely on God. Yeah. Hear me, God gives you more than you can handle so that you could understand that he is the one who can handle everything. That there's nothing in your life that you could ever face that he cannot take care of, that he cannot handle, that nothing is impossible for him. That you will not know that he is a healer unless you experience some kind of sickness that puts you in a place where you would have to cry out to him and look to heaven and say, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it out of this, but I need you to touch my heart. You will never know how good he is. Listen to me, faith is developed in the crucible of circumstances. Faith is not developed when everything is going great. Faith is developed in the fight. Faith is developed in the fire. You'll never get to see the fourth man if you don't go through it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And here's the thing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Everybody know the story? Let me not assume that everybody knows the story, because I don't want to assume that everybody's a believer in this room. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three Hebrew boys that were taken captive into the rule and reign of Babylon when they were overtaken and they were taken as prisoners. They were forced to be servants of the kingdom, and they got to a place where the king is like, "Hey, everybody must serve me." And these three boys are like, "We ain't gonna serve nobody but God." All right, and the king is like, "You're going to serve me? I'm going to throw you in the fire." And the three boys are like, "You can throw us in the fire." And listen to me. God will deliver us from the fire. But even if he doesn't, you don't develop an even if kind of faith unless you go through it. You think God's goodness is measured by whether or not he can deliver you from your circumstances? What if God's goodness is determined and demonstrated in your life by allowing you to go through? What if the only way you knew how good he was if you found him in that fire that you had to face, which, by the way, is way more than you can handle? This is important, because you will live your entire life frustrated and disappointed unless you understand that God is so much bigger than your circumstance. That even if he does allow you to go through it, you never go through it alone. See, God never promised that you would never go through difficult situations. What he promised is that he will always be with you when you do. But here's the caveat to that. That promise is not for everyone. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. That promise is for those who have a relationship with him. Not those who are perfect. Because we're going to talk about this too. Not for the good people. Come on, some of you believe that lie. That heaven is for good people and hell is for bad people. No, no, no. Newsflash, there will be good and bad people in heaven. In fact, heaven will be full of bad people because there are no good people. Heaven is for those who are forgiven and put their faith in Jesus. You are not exempt from the storm. Everybody know the story, the parable that Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus is teaching what's known as the greatest message ever preached. And the Bible says that he looks at all the people that are on the mountain and he says to them, there's two types of people in this world. One is the person who built his house. He says, what is a fool who built his house on a rock? Built his house on sand. And when the rains come, the winds blow, and the floods grow, his house is destroyed. He says, that is the person who hears my word and never applies it. Then he says, there's another person who's the wise builder, who builds his house on the rock. And when the rains fall and the winds blow and the floods grow, did you notice something? The storm was exactly the same. You think because your faith is in Jesus that your storms will be different. No, no, no. The rain will be just as overwhelming. The wind will be just as brutal. The flood will be just as scary. The only thing that makes a difference is what you build your foundation on. Listen to me. God regularly allows his people to face more than they can handle so that we could learn to trust him in the one who could handle anything. I'm going to read that again. God regularly allows his people to face more than they can handle so that we could learn to trust in the one who could handle anything. Look at what 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Listen to me. God doesn't expect us to be strong enough to face everything that comes our way. He invites us to be weak enough for his power to work in us. You'll never know how strong he is unless you get to feel weak. You'll never know how wise he is unless you get to know what it feels like to be a fool. You'll never know what it means for him to be a provider unless you find yourself in a place of need. You'll never know what it means for him to be a healer unless you find yourself in a place where you need healing. Will God allow you to go through things beyond your capacity? The answer to that is yes. But it's to build your faith. In fact, I'll take it even further. It's also to build your character. The book of James chapter 1 tells us, let us count it all joy when we suffer through various trials. For we know that the suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces a hope. Hope produces character. Come on, man. Listen to me. God wants you to know something. And it's not that life will be perfect, but it's that you serve a powerful God. God wants you to know that he can be trusted with the good and the bad. And that even if this situation overwhelms you, he's still good. He's still faithful. He's still powerful. He still never changes. He's still seated on the throne. He still saves. He still delivers. He still heals. He still sets free. He still changes everything. He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's still the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He still is the one who was, is, and is to come. He is still the Lion and the Lamb. He is still the one who gave up his life. Nothing is a better demonstration of what we're talking about. And Jesus hanging on a cross and accomplishing something that you could never accomplish and suffering in a way that you could never suffer. Taking upon himself what you deserved. The full wrath of God so that you wouldn't have to be overwhelmed by it. Now you have one or two options. You could continue to live life as you have and continue to walk in that hopelessness. Continue to be burdened beyond relief. continue to despair of life itself and have no hope and have no relief. Or you can put your trust in Him and you could surrender your life to Him. Let me ask you, are you carrying something today that's more than you can handle? Maybe it's a loss you didn't expect. Maybe it's a battle with anxiety or depression. Maybe it's a financial crisis, a broken relationship, or an illness. Maybe, just maybe, it's the temptation of sin that has overtaken your life. Here's the good news. If you've believed the lie that God expects you to handle it on your own, you might also be carrying, this is bad news, you might actually be carrying shame for struggling. But let me just clearly say, struggling doesn't mean you're falling. Struggling doesn't mean you're failing. Overwhelmed doesn't mean you're unfaithful. Overwhelmed doesn't mean He's unfaithful. And asking for help doesn't make you weak. It makes you strong. Because strength is found in the only source of help that you could ever find, and that is in Jesus. You were never meant to handle it all on your own. You were never meant to handle it all on your own. Look at what Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, and we'll close. It says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Come on, is there anybody that needs rest for their soul today? No, I can use it. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's what I want you to know. The answer isn't try harder. The answer is come to Jesus.